And now your speaker, Ron Martin.
As a young boy starting out in preaching, my mother always gave me this advice. As I was leaving the house, she would always say to me, "Do the best you can for God and for the people." And that's exactly what I want to do today. I have come to give you a message of good news. I want to speak to you today on one of the greatest words in the Greek and one of the greatest words that has been given to us today. And that word is euangelion. The word euangelion in the Greek carries the meaning of bringing good tidings with a reward. There's some variation as it's been brought down to us today because we have shortened the meaning of this word simply to mean good news. And that word, as it's translated into our English, means gospel. This morning in our study of God's Word, number one, I want us all to see the I ams of the gospel. Number two, I want us to see the facts of the gospel. Number three, I want us to understand the commands of the gospel. And fourthly, I want us to understand the great promises that have been given to us in regard to the gospel of Christ. As we understand about the gospel, at the very beginning this morning, I want to make it perfectly clear for us that each one of us has a responsibility to the gospel. I want us to understand that all of us will stand before God in judgment, and we will give account of how that we've regarded the gospel, because we have that great responsibility. It is necessary for us to understand the responsibility that we have to the gospel of Christ. Jesus in John chapter 12, beginning at verse 44 on through verses 48, talked about how that he came to save the world. And as he talked about saving the world, John says, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that hath seen me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Now notice especially what John says here as Jesus is talking. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now notice Jesus saying here, "The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day." Now, before God's Word is complete, we turn to the latter part, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And we see in this great book of Revelation the judgment. Notice with me in the last part of the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter, the judgment as it is pictured. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now picture in your mind this morning the judgment scene. All nations appearing before the judgment bar of God. And at that occasion, the books were opened. And another book, the book of life, was also opened. Let me suggest to you this morning that at that judgment day, God's word is going to be opened, and each one of us will be judged according to the way that we have obeyed God's word. All of us have a grave responsibility of understanding, of obeying, and of carrying out the word of Almighty God, because we will stand before it in judgment in that final day. Now this morning in our study of God's word, I want us also to understand that we have that responsibility in preserving the gospel. The gospel is a precious instrument that is being carried from one generation to the next. And so therefore, as we are part of the gospel, we've got to say as Paul, I am. At the beginning of the great book of Romans, Paul talked about his desire to preach the gospel. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul says, so, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now notice, Paul said, I am ready. As members of the Lord's body, all of us have that responsibility of being ready with the gospel. At one time, members of the Lord's church were known as walking Bibles. They knew the Word. They studied the Word. The Word was a part of them. As Paul says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The Word was a part of their lives. And James says, receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. This is what the Word does. It becomes a part of our thinking, a part of our lives. As Peter says, we ought to be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. Now we have that responsibility as members of the Lord's body to be ready with the gospel, to be ready to proclaim the gospel as we have opportunity. And then secondly, notice the second great I am of the gospel. It is found in the very next verse. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now notice how important it is. Paul says, I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to proclaim the gospel. It's a part of me. And then he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. We're living in a time when we must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We must say, just as Paul did, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Notice what the gospel is. He says, it is the power of God. Whenever you read that from the original, it says, it is the dynamos of God. Dynamos comes from our word dynamite, which means the strongest force, the strongest power that the Greeks knew. This is what we have, the gospel of Christ. It is not weak. It is strong. Notice what the gospel is able to do. The gospel is able to take a sinner, and through the Word of God, it is able to make that sinner a Christian. What else is able to do that? It is able to take a wretched man who steals, who drinks, who is guilty of all manner of doing wrong, and able to purify that man in being an upright man of God. That's the power that is vested in God's Word. That's why we can't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I challenge you as part of the body of Christ to stand up and hold up for the gospel of Christ, because it is the only way that people in this world may be saved. In our study of God's Word this morning also, I want us to understand the facts of the gospel, how important it is to realize how that the gospel is a part of our lives. Paul was so close to the church at Corinth. He had started that congregation. He had worked with this congregation. Corinth was at a hard place, a seaport city. At Corinth, there were all manners of evil there. Heathenism, like we wouldn't even imagine. He preached the gospel at Corinth, and they believed the gospel. As we have divided the letter to the church of Corinth into chapters, we come to the 15th chapter, and this is known as the resurrection chapter, because Paul talks about the second coming of Christ. And he talks about how that we're going to be resurrected. At the beginning of this 15th chapter, we have what is called the facts of the gospel for us. Paul says this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now I want you to look at these things, as Paul says here in this great chapter. Paul says, number one, I preach the gospel to you. Number two, you receive the gospel. And number three, he says, you are standing in the gospel. And that's true of every one of us. This has not changed till this day. We have heard the gospel. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have received the gospel. The gospel, as it falls upon us, is to be accepted or to be rejected. We have accepted the gospel. We have obeyed the gospel. And we also realize that we must stand in the gospel. There's a grave concern for all of us to continue to obey the gospel. After a person is baptized into Christ, that is the beginning of their service to Christ. Baptism puts us into Christ. We must continue to stand in the gospel. We must continue to obey the gospel. Now notice the facts of the gospel as they amplify it here. He says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Number one, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, whenever you think of the good news of Christ, the good news is this, that a Savior has come and that He died for our sins upon the cross. As we have partaken of the Lord's Supper this morning, our minds as a congregation of the body of Christ have gone all the way back to the cross in which Jesus died upon that cross for our sins. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was willing to give His life upon that cross for our sins. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for us. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior, the one who put Himself in my place. That's good news, because through Jesus Christ, I can have the hope of eternal salvation. And only through Jesus Christ as my Lord and the Master of my life. First, Christ died for my sins. Secondly, that He was buried. And thirdly, He rose from the dead. My Lord, the one who gave Himself for my sins, did not remain in that tomb, but He was raised from the dead the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, thirdly, I want us to realize that as we realize the facts of the gospel, that there are commands to be obeyed. All of us, in looking at the gospel, realize that we must obey what God has commanded us to do. At the beginning of the Lord's church, Peter, upon the day of Pentecost, proclaimed, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly, this same Jesus whom ye have crucified hath been made both Lord and Master." They cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, whenever you think about it, this is exactly what they were told to do. The command of the gospel must be obeyed. A person to obey the gospel must believe with all of their heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Secondly, they must turn away from their sins, and they must turn to Christ. There must be that commitment upon their part to give Christ the best that they have to give. They stand before a group of people. "I stood before some of you, and you heard me say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." At this very site, not this building, but in the old building, there was the baptistry, just like it is here. And in that watery grave, one is buried with Christ in baptism. They go into that watery grave, one who is believing, one who is repenting, and wanting to obey God's will. In that watery grave of baptism, one is buried with Christ and raised up, putting on Christ, a new creature in Christ Jesus, ready and willing to do God's will because you have obeyed the gospel. And that in that watery grave of baptism, our sins through the blood of Christ have been washed away. We have been raised up to walk in newness of life according to the gospel, in doing God's will. After one obeys the gospel, there's still a lot of work to be done. There's steadfast qualities of our lives that must be observed. There's faithfulness in doing God's will that must be attained. At the end of the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul said this to those Corinthians. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's what we've got to do to continue to do God's will as a Christian, to continue to be steadfast, to continue to be unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's one final thought that I want us to take with us today. And this is a verse that I want everyone to remember this day. as you leave here, as we've talked about the good news of Christ, I want you to take this as something that is personal to each one of us as part of the body of Christ. And this verse is going to be found in the second letter to the church at Corinth and the fourth chapter. And in the third verse, Paul says this, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now, in our study of Euangelion, the word gospel, we talk about I am. I am ready. I am not ashamed. We talk about the facts of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised the third day. We talk about the commands of the gospel, how that we must obey exactly what the gospel has said. Nothing more, nothing less will do. We talk about the promises of the gospel, how that Christ will be with us. But for all of us, as part of the body of Christ, let us not forget this one statement that Paul says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And whenever we think about it, we can hide the gospel by not presenting it to our fellow man, by not letting the gospel live in our lives, be a part of us, and grow in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And finally this morning, I want to remind you of the fate of those who obey not the gospel. In the second letter to the church at Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Now notice the responsibility, the grave responsibility of hearing God's word, of believing exactly what it has said, of changing and molding our lives to follow after the gospel in obedience to it. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. At that day of reckoning, those who obey not the gospel will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord." On this beautiful Lord's Day, it is my wonderful privilege to extend the greatest invitation that I ever have the opportunity to extend. That is the invitation of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. It is your invitation to obey the gospel. There are those in this audience who haven't obeyed the gospel, who need to do exactly that this day. Some have been putting it off and saying, "I want to obey the gospel," but haven't taken that step. Don't stand back. Don't hold back any longer. Obey the gospel while you have the time and while you have the opportunity. Do it today. Won't you come to Christ? Won't you obey Him and do His will?